Tell you, we need to be encouragers in our church, don't we? It's okay to laugh. God gave us a sense of humor. It's okay to enjoy each other's company. Amen? What would it be like if we hated each other? Wouldn't be very pleasant, would it? All right. You know, Rick Warren states, everybody know who Rick Warren is? A lot of people know Rick Warren. He's written several books. He's got a lot of good ideas. He's made a lot of great statements. And Rick Warren states, he says, and I agree with what he says here in his book. He says that the key issue for churches in the 21st century will be church health, not growth. Because when a congregation is healthy, it will grow. You know, all living things grow if they're healthy. If you grow a garden, you know that. If you got healthy plants, they grow. If you don't, you don't have to make them grow. The same principle is for the church. You don't have to make a church grow. And since the church is a living organism, it's natural for it to grow if it's healthy. The church is a body, not a business. An organism, the church is, not an organization. It's alive. It's alive. You hear me? Rick says in his book, he says, if a church is not growing, it's dying. Man. That, you know, to me, that I read that and it's like, God help us. Lord help us. Because when you look at the statistics across America, you know, churches are not doing so good in growth. They're really not. God is still, you know, God is still who God is, and it's His church, right? It's His church. His church will prevail, the gates of hell. His church will exist with us or without us. If a healthy church is growing, is a growing church, then it stands to reason that a church will only be as healthy as its individual members. That's why I encourage you to be in small groups. That's why I encourage you to read and study your Bible to grow spiritually. You can come on Sunday and hear me preach, but that's not enough. You can listen to good speakers on TV or on YouTube, or you can read some great books, and those are very helpful. A church will only grow as each member is growing in their faith. So you and I need what we need the most. We need to ask ourselves, how healthy are we spiritually? That's a question that you can only answer for yourself because you know who you are. How healthy are you spiritually? Where is your desires at? Where is your passion at? What's it going to take? How do you know if you're growing in your faith? The Gallup poll, you've heard the Gallup poll, they do surveys. They've been doing them for years. And they surveyed 13,000 people in 130 countries. And it's really one of the only times that they ever did a worldwide study. And it was a survey of people who used to go to church, but no longer do. There were a number of questions in the survey, and one of the questions asked, what would you need? What would need to happen for you to return to church? That was the question. The number one answer was passion in the lives of the members and leaders. Passion. What people wanted to see the most was a fire in people. A zeal, an enthusiasm among Christians that made going to church meaningful. It's what drew me to the church. And I talked about this in our small group, and I don't know, we didn't get any pictures up this morning, did you? Okay. If you saw the pictures that were put up this morning, we started our hiking discipleship group yesterday morning. Had a wonderful hike. Halfway on the hike, we stopped. There just happened to be some park benches right there. And we stopped and we did a class. We had a devotion right there on the trail. It was just a beautiful day. An enthusiasm among Christians that made going to church meaningful. I mentioned a story about I sat down with some young people and was talking to them about the indifference. And I've told this story before, but it's really what this message, it drew me to this message, because one of the young people, I asked him, I said, why is our community, why is the world so indifferent with the church right now? Why is there such an indifference to the church? And she said, well, when my grandmother is passed on now, but she said, when I was a little girl, my grandmother, church meant everything to her. I mean, it was everything to her. She had this such a passion for the church. And she said, I don't see that today. She said, my mom and dad, they just go to church whenever. But there's no passion for the church. When they go, it's just like they go through the motions. They show up, they go through the motions, and they go home. There's no passion in them. There's no meaningful relationship with the people in the church. So what is passion? When she said that, I will never forget that conversation. I want my kids, my wife, and everybody around me to know I have a passion for the church. You hear me? Not only for the church, a passion for God. That my number one passion in my life is for Jesus Christ. And that it's real. It's not fake. It's real. I think to have a healthy church, it begins with a passion. Consuming passion for God. John 2:17 says, then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the Scriptures. Passion for God's house burns within me. Jesus is speaking of passion for God and His presence in my life, and not a building or not a church structure. Location shouldn't determine your passion for Christ. When I'm sitting at the restaurant, I still should have the same passion for Christ as I do if I'm sitting right here in this church or standing behind this pulpit. It shouldn't define your passion. So do you have a passion in your life? The dictionary says that passion is an intense emotion, a strong feeling, a great devotion, and intense conviction which fuels or motivates us towards compelling actions. If you have a passion for something, you love doing it, right? There's a lot of things that I like to do, and I've had a passion for many things, but some of the best teachers I've ever had are people who had a passion for teaching. Some of the best students I've ever seen had a passion for learning. It's like, man, they just had to read. They wanted to learn. If you want to be good at something, you have to do it with passion. Passion is the difference between enthusiastic action and simply going through the motions. Passion is the fire in your belly that causes us to get up in the middle of the night thinking about what needs to get done the next day. Passion is what drives us to pray for each other. I found that the word in the Bible, that the Bible uses this word many times, is zeal. The Greek word is zealous. It means a fervent devotion to a cause. How many of us are zealous today? Could use that word. Amen? For the church. Get up in the morning, you can't wait to get to the church to be with your friends and family. The people that love God. Amen? A fervent devotion to a cause. It is also closely related to a word that translates fire, enthusiasm, earnestness. Many different words. You know, a person who possesses zeal has a fire in his bones that cannot be easily quenched. I had that when I met Leanne. Married 33 years now. Yeah. Yeah. There were days it wasn't easy. But you listen. Those days that aren't easy, that fire was still there. It's not easily quenched. It just made that fire stronger. Romans 12:11, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. That's a good one. Romans 10:2 says, I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misguided zeal. Sometimes we get misguided in doing the wrong things, I guess. 2 Corinthians 9:2, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to our friends in Macedonia that you Christians in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of them to begin helping. The importance of enthusiasm and passion in the church. It stirs up other people. Paul said, spur each other along. Man, that sounds painful, doesn't it? But what if we can do it with our enthusiasm? What if we can do it with our passion? If people see that we have a passion for God, they're going to say, I want to be like that. That's what I want, right? If I call people to invite them to church and I said, well, would you come to church? But if I wasn't passionate about it, you know, can you invite people with a passion? Man, come to our church. It's the best place you can. I mean, it's great. It's awesome. It's got some great people. Some great people. No. Oh. I think you get my point. If we show passion towards our church, show passion towards people, Philippians 3:6, talk about zealous. It says this, yes, in fact, I harshly persecuted the church and I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully that I was never accused of any fault. That's Paul talking about how he was misguided. That's kind of my point there earlier. Paul was misguided with his passion. He had passion for the law. And it was kind of misguided. And then he realized that. He's like, yep, I was really zealous for the law. But now he's zealous for Christ. Corinthians 4:13, I can assure you that he has agonized for you and also for the Christians in Laodicea. we get excited about all kinds of things, I know, and we're passionate about our work, and we're passionate about possession sometimes. Man, I tell you what, I've had some hobbies that I just dumped everything, all of me into. Man, I just loved, I wanted to be, hunting was one of them. There was a time, man, I just loved to hunt. And I mean, every moment that I had free, I was sitting in a deer stand or somewhere. I've been that way about fishing. I've been that way about guns. Man, I'll tell you what, I mean, it just absorbs you. I've been that way about a lot of things. I know it's easy for us to do. But why can't we have that same passion for the church? That same passion for God? So why is it that so many Christians are apologetic for being passionate for Christ? Why do Christians lack zeal for the most part? Why is most churches, why do they not have the passion that they ought to have? Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's because they have allowed something precious to become familiar or to become ordinary or to become everyday and common. For so many people, church is just that. It's just something they do to mark off the list that they completed it that week. Maybe it's a need for approval. Maybe you know, we all want to be loved. We all want to be needed. We have a desire for that. We all want to be accepted by others. Without thinking about it, we take the fire of passion and we trade it for the passion of approval. Boy, it's so easy to do as a pastor. Because we get caught up in wanting to please people sometimes and make everybody happy. And that's a dangerous game to play. Because it's not about the people that we need to make happy. It's about God that we need to make happy. It's about serving Christ in the way He would want us to serve. It's about preaching His gospel, truth, the truth of His gospel. Sometimes that doesn't please everybody when we preach the truth, does it? Maybe it's apathy. That word means without love. When people have lost their love, what once caused our hearts to beat faster now barely affects our pulse rate. We fall into a routine of ruts. I heard somebody say, you know what a rut is? It's a grave with the ends knocked out of it. See, we become routine about our faith sometimes too. And we become routine about going to church sometimes. It's not that we deny Christ. We believe that there's a God and we know what Christ did, but we just demote Him to just another thing that we do in the week or to a commonplace, as some people have. And apathy is not a state of mind, it's a condition of the heart. So, and maybe it's because you have let people affect you. Man, people can hurt you. Come on now, people can say some pretty mean things. And sometimes people in the church, sometimes good Christian people say wrong things. And it hurts people. I've heard people that went to church and don't go to church anymore because somebody said something that they didn't like, and 50 years later or 30 years later, they're still harboring that. I've heard people say to me, right straight out to my face, I will never go to that church again. Ever. and the people that hurt them don't even come anymore. That's how easy. And I hear that all the time. But you know what? There's a benefit. That you, if you ever heard the expression that birds of a feather flock together? Huh? My mom and dad, they said that many times about you are who you hang out with. You better watch who you hang out with. You know, that saying is reminding us to be careful who we spend all of our time with, because it will affect our walk with God. If you're hanging out with good Christian people, it should affect you. Come on now. If you're walking, if you take let me go back here a little bit. When you take a red hot poker out of the fire and you throw it on the cold concrete floor, what happens? It starts to die out, doesn't it? It slowly loses its red glow. And this is the way it is when we lose our passion for Christ. I'm talking about coming to church. I'm talking about being involved in your church family. Our church services, when we get around each other, it should be like we're in the fire together, warming each other, keeping each other glowing hot, on fire for God. Come on. Man, I tell you, I get encouraged by my good friends all the time. And I can be discouraged by some of my friends, too. You have your Bibles. I don't know if Verna's got Revelation 2:17. 2:1-7. Revelation, I want to read something to you. Says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and that yet you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet, I hold these against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You know, this church was a serving church, where he says, I know your deeds. This church was a sacrificing church. He says, I know your hard works. This church was a steadfast church. He says, and your perseverance. This church was a sanctified church. You cannot tolerate wicked. You have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not. And this church was a suffering church, and you have persevered and have endured many hardships. Sound familiar? I look at that, he says, but. And there's a lot of buts in the Scripture, you know. There's a lot of them. You need to pay attention when there's that word. He says, but. According to today's standards, I think this church was much like the church of today. Of this generation. It was a happening place. It had all the right stuff. It was going through the motions, and And what could God possibly see wrong with that church? But it seems like the Ephesian church had the fire once burning in it. But they had let it grow weary. They had let it grow cold. They left their first love. Service is not the same. It doesn't have the passion it once did. Is it possible to serve God without passion? Is it possible that we could serve God out of sense of duty? Living for God out of legalism? But let me tell you, legalism will sap the passion right out of your life. In service alone, going through the motions will never produce a lasting passion for God. So I'd ask you, how do we restore that passion in your life? How do we restore the passion in my life? The Word of God repeats over and over again the importance of maintaining a spiritual fire. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 warns the believer, do not put out the Spirit's fire, or do not quench the Spirit. We all want to be on fire for God, don't we? Don't we? How do we do it? By following the strategies of a book written by somebody? Or seeking God Himself? Amen? To keep the fires burning. I think it's like this. We got to make sure we got a fireplace. Who's had a fireplace in their house? Did you ever feel uncomfortable about lighting this big old fire inside your house? Doesn't seem right, does it? You're going to build a fire right in the middle of your house. But a fireplace is a safe place to burn a fire, right? Sometimes. You got to maintain it, right? You got to take care of your fireplace. You build it right, and you do it right, you can build a fire in your house, and we can stir up the gift of God that is in you. A fireplace is a safe place to have a fire, and Christians need a place. We need a place where passion can burn brightly. Amen? That's the importance of the church, where passion is encouraged. I hope I'm encouraging this morning. And where passion of one person can inflame the passion of another. The church is God's gift. It's a gift. It's the fireplace that God gives us to bring passion to each other. He gave us the church as a fireplace and a safe place to burn. You know, this world's resistant to that. There's always somebody wanting to throw water on your flame. Always. You get out in this world today, and there's people out there that do not want to see a fire burning within you for Christ. But this is a place where we should feel comfortable, where we can express how much we love God to each other. Fire consumes. You know, we're consumed in this world so much, as I was saying. And I think that's what Jesus had in mind when he quotes Psalms 69:9. Passion for God's house burns within me. Passion for God's house burns within me. I love the church. I love the church. You hear me? I have a passion for the church. No matter where, whether it's here or whatever church I walk into, I have a passion for churches. I have a passion for God's people. Psalms 119:139 says, when he's talking about when David laments, he says, my zeal wears me out. We all get tired sometimes. The Word of God gives us a clue to the cure in Isaiah 40, 30, 31. It says, even youths will become exhausted, and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Fire needs to be stoked from time to time. We need to practice that. It takes practice. Practicing your faith's okay. Amen? It's encouraged to practice your faith. The only thing I never was really bought into was the practice of medicine. I didn't ever want a doctor to practice on me. I never understood that statement. I always wanted a doctor that knew what he was doing. He wasn't practicing, right? I think one of the greatest things that we can do is at the end of our day, we can look back at our day and thank God for what we did that day. Thank God for giving us the ability to do it. Look back at the things that we know we could have done better and make it better the next day. Giving it all to God and thanking God for giving you the creativity and the strength to accomplish your work in His name. Amen. What we do it all for God, no matter what it is. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. How would it be? How would it be? Passion for God protects me from wrongdoing. Passion to please Him causes me to say no to temptation. My passion for what God wants to happen in my life causes me to instantly recognize any departure from that. I'm almost done. Who would you rather be around? Passionate people are the most discouraging person that you know. We always call those, I hope there's nobody named Debbie in here, the Debbie Downers, you know those, right? I don't want to offend anybody. That's just a word we've all used for years, right? Apparently there was a lady named Debbie that was really down because that really stuck, you know. Yeah. But people affect how we live our lives, and sometimes if we're around a lot of negativity all the time, it affects you. It can bring you down. It can really burst your bubble. It can decrease the passion that you have in your life. And I believe that we as a church body, we need to be that place that encourages each other. We need to be a place that when I come, I know I'm going to meet encouraging people with passion for God, and it's going to help me through my week. I should get an amen out of that. I'm not going to beg for amens, but I think I'm right about that. I think it'll make our hearts grow brighter, and Paul reminds us, he reminds us in Timothy, he's talking with Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:5, he said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Man, can we be that encouraging to each other that We need to pray for passion. God's fire is a gift. Let me tell you. 2 Timothy 1:6, fan into flames the gift of God which is in you. Fan into flames that gift. How would Timothy do this? Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant about it. One of the first lessons we learned on our group lesson was fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. A prayer with passion. Intensity. We should pray for each other. We should pray for a restoring passion in our life. A restoring passion in our churches. A restoring passion of earnesty and fervently, and vigilantly. All those words speak about passion. Anything worthwhile, any good thought, any inspirational song, poems, music, any concern for people comes from this. Prayer. Prayer is the key for restoring passion in your life. John Wesley once was asked about his secret in his ministry. What was the secret of your ministry? What made him so good at what he did? What attracted people to John Wesley? He writes this, I asked God to set me on fire and let people watch me burn. My prayer is for you in this church. My life and my family is to ask for God's holy fire upon our lives and on my heart. And I say, let it burn. Let it burn in my soul. Let it burn that when people see me, they know. They know where my passion lies. And I'm praying for you that God, please set us on fire in this church. And I hope that's your prayer today. Leave here with a flame burning so bright that everybody that sees you know they want to come see the fire burning. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this great group of people, Lord, that I call my family and my friends. Lord, let us be on fire for you. Lord, I pray for that passion that only can come from you. So, Lord, let us leave here better than we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.